Welcome to the Kosafa Show with Mark Gleason and Nick Say.
Welcome to our latest episode of the Kosafa Show, where we have an exclusive interview with New Zimbabwe coach Michael Nies as he prepares the side for the upcoming Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers that get underway this week. In this extensive chat, he lays down his plans for the side and gives some insight into his coaching history. We also hear from the winning coach of the CAF Women's Champions League Kosafa qualifiers, that's Jessica Mbuli from the University of the Western Cape, on their triumph and what it means to the team. But first, Mark Gleason caught up with Zimbabwe coach Nies.
Let me start by asking you, first of all, how excited you are about this job, because Zimbabwe has, in many people's opinion, been a country with so much potential in recent decades.
Yes, I'm very excited. Look, I had my first international match in 2003 with the small Seychelles Island, a beautiful Seychelles Island, against Zimbabwe in Harare. And the first game when we entered the stadium, it was the first match for Zimbabwe after I couldn't play 1 year in that stadium because there was a tragic, I think, even against South Africa, yes. If I'm not mistaken. And we entered the stadium and there were 60,000 spectators. You must know, Seychelles Island at that time had only 80,000 citizens. They were joking, hey, 20,000 more and the whole population would be in the stadium. And we lost in the dying minutes, actually, quite narrowly, 3-1. And then I said, okay, you might are right with that, but I think we can beat you in a couple of months. And that happened in 2006. So basically, my international career as a coach, national coach, I was before working in Japan and did other things. But my real international career started 2003. 21 years ago against Zimbabwe, in Zimbabwe. It looks like now it comes to the circle is closing, you know, you come back to that point.
And just in terms of the potential, I mean, do you know a lot about Zimbabwe and its potential?
Oh, look, since 2003, I follow Zimbabwe football because of that experience, which really excited me. I mean, which country has 60,000 spectators against the Seychelles in the stadium? I don't think South Africa. Not you tell me five countries in Africa.
Yeah, good question.
That showed me what this is a football country. They love, they adore football, and that was for me that moment in 2003 visible. And I had to prepare the teams and could see already what great players they had. And then in 2010, a little bit accidentally, the Seychelles wanted me to come back because they played against Zimbabwe with the same coach like in 2003. And but I only could help them for 4 weeks for two matches against Zimbabwe. So I went there again. Not many people know that. But I was there again, and we played, we lost 4-2 and 2-0, and that was the team with Nyasha Mushekwi, with Kutbat Malajila and a few others. And again, they had a great team, and we played in Harare, and again, I think there was 20,000 spectators in the smaller stadium there. And it showed me, damn, this is a football country. No? And I always followed African football since 25 years. The African Cup of Nations, and then I worked, of course, in Rwanda as national coach. Then I worked in South Africa as director of coaching. So I followed, and nowadays it's much more easy. When I moved to Europe, which was more close to home, it was more easy with the modern technologies to follow football like it was 15 or 20 years ago. And basically, as a coach, you keep to up. You have to be update, and that's how I follow the football. And when that opportunity came along, of course, I need to prepare myself for the interviews in detail, like you would play against Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
So I had to. I was prepared. I knew the players. I know the players. I don't know them personally, but believe me, I think for the time I've been here, I have a very good knowledge of the Zimbabwe football, but it will grow. I need to feel the football. It's not only by watching games, You need to go to the in Bulawayo. You need to go outside. You need to watch the games. Then you feel the real football. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I already started that, but that will be definitely will take a few months to really assess everybody and get to know everybody.
But at the same time, I mean, Zimbabwe has this growing reservoir of talent overseas. You think about a big Zimbabwean community in the UK, lots of boys born in the UK who are eligible for Zimbabwe. You think of Reinhard Fabisch's son, for example. How much are you maybe going to also concentrate on finding these kind of players for your team?
Look, it will be, I mean, we have to consider now the time factor. I came here quite late. You rely always on a mixture of both outside players who play in very good leagues. You cannot deny that. And you have to recognize that, and some local players. And they play in some really good clubs and very good teams. So it must be always some sort of mixture. Sometimes this group will a little bit dominate. Sometimes maybe the other group will dominate. But I don't think I would call 25 players or from outside. At the moment, for this, also for time frames, the group from outside will dominate. But they have to prove their worth. And because here's also some good players. But of course, the conditions are not like in a professional environment like in Europe or in South Africa. The pitches are more difficult, so the game has to be a little bit slowed down because they always have to control the ball. It cannot be like a fluent passing game possible like it is in a nice top pitch, which is a little bit watered before. So we have to recognize that. But part of my also program, or how can you say, my offer when we had the interviews, I offered my assistance, my support for the technical director. I have experience as technical director. I have experience in coaching education. I have experience in talent development. And I said, look, if the time allows, I will really avail myself to support, to help develop the football here to grow, because that makes also fun. Just to chat in for a game and so that, come on, that's not serious, if I'm really honest. Yeah. And with regards to the group, I mean, in my last job in Kosovo is the youngest federation at the football association, at the FIFA.
Yeah.
And actually, Kosovo has a population, a diaspora, almost as big as the population in Kosovo. There's a huge group of players playing in Germany, in Switzerland, in England, in Scandinavia. So basically, I have this experience already that we always try to bring a harmonious team together from players from outside and from inside. That's not something new for me. I know the challenges there. You need to look that you get a certain team harmony, that there's no superior and inferior complexes in a group, that everybody is respected and regarded. Some were fortunate to born in the right place at the right time and maybe get the right education, sports education, training at the right time. But that doesn't mean that a player who grew up here with maybe inferior conditions has less talent. He had maybe less conditions to develop his talent, but maybe the talent is still hidden, and we need to unlock that that potential and bring a group together which really works together. That will be a process. I mean, when you know how groups develop and teams develop, that's not how can you say, a crash course, yeah?
Yeah.
You can make here or there a little bit shortcuts, but at the end it is a process with different stages. And we will have to go through these stages together. And everybody must work there together, even the media here. No? That's what I said in the press conference.
Can I ask you about what fans can expect in terms of playing style, or is it maybe a little bit too early now?
Another question. I was asked, look, the ideal case is we would have like a club coach, a 6 weeks nice preparation, and then you can implement your ideas and the playing style must reflect the real conditions. We are going to meet a team basically on Sunday, half of the group, and then on Monday we'll link up in Uganda. The Monday is a recovery session. The Tuesday you have 80% of the players available, which you can load, not fully, but quite good. And then you have a training session on Wednesday where every player is fully available. Thursday is match day minus one training. I mean, we must... The playing style and the approach to the games, because the FIFA calendar is so packed, must reflect the realities. I can bring you now philosophize about a nice playing philosophy about everything, but that might maybe only confuse the players in the available time.
Yeah.
I mean, there we must be realistic. No? The calendar is so packed. If I would have been here from February and March onwards, there was this Four Nations tournament, there was the COSAFA, there was the World Cup games, there was the almost the whole month of May because the league finished early because of the European Cup. So you could really have developed something. But now we must be realistic and we must look to find the right approach which could unlock the undeniable big talent and potential of the Zimbabwean players. But on the other side, we must also respect the time frame. I must find even time to train set pieces. I mean, I don't know where to put it. That will be very challenging by itself already.
Yeah.
So it's not what I would like, could implement in the real and in the ideal conditions, but every national coach faces these challenges. But of course, if you're already maybe half a year in a job, you already develop the basics. So that is definitely something we have to consider to not confuse the players, but not to make it too static.
And in terms of the start, it's two tough teams, Kenya and Cameroon, but I suppose it's also advantageous that you go to one venue and you stay there.
Yeah, you look, must see. I mean, not only that we are quite late, I mean, we must admit that, but we are also playing our home games away. There was from us the request that Namibia, Kenya and South Africa and Zimbabwe plays their games in South Africa. Best stadiums, best pitches, best hotels. Yeah? No travel stress. You would be there for both games. But Kenya wanted to play against us in Uganda. Maybe they were afraid that we have some spectators in South Africa. So what do you do then? We don't have the means to travel with a charter flight.
Mm.
So do you, when you have two games in 4 days, travel around, maybe your luggage gets lost, this and that, you until you're at the hotel and so on, travel around, or do you stay in the place where you are? In the Federation also, to simplify things and to cut the cost, which is absolutely understandable, and to simplify logistics, then said we stay in Uganda. And for Cameroon, it doesn't make a difference. They come with a charter flight, the government sponsored the whole national team. They don't take a flight to South Africa, they fly to Uganda, they fly to New York, wherever you play. No problem for them, yeah? You understand, for us, we try to make it as simple as possible. We are now, it's a challenge, it's a small federation. We miss, of course, the stadium. I think, look, this is a football country, I guarantee you. If we would have a stadium of 100,000 people, it would be packed. And I'm not kidding. Mm. I mean, we had really, in a press conference, we made it a beautiful press conference in the garden of the Federation. Outside, there was 40 journalists. I mean, 40 is a good number, don't you think? The interest is such big, that the desire for the football. I really, that was one of the main attractions, which is, I said, oh, if this opportunity comes and they would select me, of course, you have to grab it. And I'm very happy that I could convince them and to be the man. And we just would love to have home games. Yeah? It would be packed.
Zimbabwe does have a little bit of a history of a sense of expectation. I mean, they know their potential. Do you feel that already, that it's quite a demanding public?
Oh yes, because, but you know, the Zimbabwe talks very often about the talent. They talk about their talent, but I think we must stop talking about talent. It's a talent to talk about a talent, but it's a different talent to showcase your talent on the pitch. And they must understand that we have to really work for that. And we need to walk the talk and not talk the talk.
Yes.
Yeah. And that is maybe what we have to change. On paper, he plays in this club, it's good, and this club is good, and that club very good. But you need to show it on the pitch. And that's maybe we need to do less talking and more acting, less talking and more doing the job. That's maybe could be an approach from us, yeah, that we have to learn to focus on the task at hand and not get distracted by other things and being praised and, you know, and all these things. Every team nowadays plays football, every team. I mean, I beat with the smallest country in 2003 in Africa, the Zimbabwe. 2-1, yeah. Like I said at the beginning. So there is no... there is no room for a superiority complex or whatsoever. You always need to have a real focused and realistic game approach which respects the opponent, which doesn't make him bigger or smaller than he is, but which reflects the strength and the weakness of the opponents. And that's what I want to install, yeah? Positive, real positive, self-belief, but realistic. And respect for the opponent.
Last question I want to ask you is about the World Cup. Obviously, by March, when you resume the campaign for North America, you would have completed 6 matches in the Cup of Nations. You still have 6 more qualifiers. Zimbabwe's position does not look good, but do you think it's salvageable? You can, you know, with a good Cup of Nations qualifying campaign, you can go on and maybe restore hopes for the World Cup?
Look, we must take it step by step, you know. We must really not again think on what is in March or whatever. We have to take it step by step, from training to training, from match to match. I think that would be for us the best approach. What is then in March, we cannot say now. I mean, this is the group, if you ask me now as a neutral, yes, South Africa with 7 home games in 10 matches have the best opportunity ever to go to a World Cup. I mean, which team has 7 home matches? No? We don't have home matches. Nigeria on paper would have the second best chances, but they also a little bit had problems. The group, I don't think the group is decided yet. Yeah, but we are not focusing now on the World Cup. That would be absolutely a thing. But ironically, the group has some interesting matches because Bruno Labbadia yesterday, I think, was announced as national coach.
Yeah.
So this group has 4 German coaches in the coaching teams. Yeah, you know that. I mean, Benin from Cannot Draw,
yeah,
and Torsten, a colleague of mine, which I know very well, Rwanda, my former team. Yes, and Bruno and Labbadia now. Nigeria and me Zimbabwe. So that's also a very interesting figure. So they have good coaches. But we are not thinking on that now. We have a very difficult job at hand. I must also praise the FIFA Federation, you know, because I also read them sometimes when you prepare yourself, the critics here and there. This is a small federation. They're working around the clock. Some have 2 or 3 jobs to do at the same time. And, you know, there's no income from home matches. The sponsors are a little bit reluctant because they were banned by FIFA. So basically, they have to account everything with FIFA. There was 3 guys here checking everything is in order the last days. And I think really, I'm very impressed also how the interviews were conducted. To let me be real honest, Bruce, I was asked questions. I almost thought I'm a student in my pro license course in 2011 and 2010-11 in South Africa. They were really tough and realistic and good questions. This was, and that impressed me a lot. And really, I mean, you don't need to the biggest and the richest federation. For me, that made also a very good impression. And I really enjoy how all of them give their best. And I feel so far really very comfortable. But we know we are working in a result-based business. So we have to do everything that a positive result is very likely. Yeah. What then is the outcome if we do everything and we, if we can look in the mirror and say everything within our power and our time frame and we did everything which was possible, then I'm sure that we get the result what we deserve. And if we do that all right, then I think we get a positive result. If we do mistakes, of course, then it will be more difficult. Mm. And so far, I'm very impressed how it is here. It reminds me a little bit when I was at the beginning at the Kosovo Football Federation. I think I started there. Like I said, I was the youngest federation at FIFA. When I started there, we had 6 or 7 employees. When I left, we had 60. Wow. Around. And here we have about 10, 12 employees, if I count it right. I'm not sure how far you count. And I feel a little bit the same, how do you say, the same enthusiasm, you know? And the federation will grow. I'm sure there will be, it's still a transition federation, yeah? But they're doing all what they can, that I can say from my point of view. And I must really, this is quite impressive. Sometimes when it's a little bit smaller and you work together, you can achieve even more than it's big and everybody goes his own way.
University of the Western Cape will represent CASAFA at the CAF Women's Champions League finals after they edge Gaborone United on penalties in the final of the CASAFA qualifier in Blantyre, Malawi. Let's hear from their coach, Jessica Mbuli.
I'm so happy for the players. I think we have a group of talented players that deserve to play at that level. And that's why that was our goal, to come here and do our best. And I think we did that because I said to them, once you get to that, that's the highest cup football competition in Africa. If you think you are a good player or you are one of the good teams, you must play there. So that's why I'm happy for them. It wasn't easy. Today we were really, really, really pushed. But yeah, I'm excited for the players, excited for the team, excited for us being the first university to qualify for this. Overall, man, I'm happy. I think this tournament gave us different type of opposition. The two teams in our group, Herentals Queens and Green Buffaloes, they have a similar style of play, strong using their physique. And Ongos and yeah, Buffaloes gave us something completely different. We could play. You could see against Ongos, we had more time and space on the ball. Same with Young Buffaloes. I did say the last time that Young Buffaloes are from Swaziland. Swaziland is very close to us. So we have similar kind of players, or we play similar kind of style of play. And then today, Botswana has some players that play for the national team, you could see. They really pushed us. You could see their experience. We were struggling. The last 10 minutes of the 90 minutes, we were struggling. And we had to make a change and put Ronel just to give that physicality to their centre-back number 2, who was winning everything against us. So yeah, I think it was a good preparation for us if now we are going to CAF, because it gave us completely different type of teams, something that you don't even get at home. All those players, they're the players with more minutes in our team. That's why the previous game we rested number 19, so that she can be fresh for this game. We rested number 13, Figile, so that she can be fresh for this game. We knew that their strength is central with their number 9, their number 10, number 3. So we tried to control that. That's why we took off Amu and number 19, because she couldn't do it anymore. Unox, I think it's because of the style of play she plays. I said to her before the game today, don't waste your energy. Just pass the ball, don't dribble. But I think she was better the time we brought her inside, taking off Usbulele, because she has that energy. Unox, you can always expect something from her because of the quality that she has. But I think it's a game plan from them to say, If they wanted to stop us, they had to stop our 3, which is number 15 has been very good for us, Ukanyisa. So they had to cut that. Even number 17 today, she was not more in the ball. So I think number 9 and number 10 and number 3 for them, they did a very good job. No, I must say, I don't even know how many corners we had. No, we are very good. I think we knew that our strength in this tournament overall, which has been our set plays. And I think the half chances that we made were coming from set plays. Just that sometimes the starting point of our headers is close or is far. That's why we couldn't use that. But again, disappointing that we conceded from the set play. But I think that was a foul, because they pushed the field and then they scored from that. But it's okay. I'm just impressed with your state. I didn't even know the fouls, the corners, what. Besides the penalty that she saved and the penalty that she scored, even throughout the tournament, there were games where she really, really saved us. I think we know that her speciality is one-on-one. If it's one-on-one, we know that our sister would take it. But today, during the penalty kicks, we just asked her for two. We didn't know that it was going to go to a sudden death, and then we had to again rely on her. But I think her overall performance, it's because of the back four in front of her. When she's needed to save the team, and she did that. So I'm happy for her. Even at home, she's having a good season, and she's still very young. And I'm sure this will boost the confidence going forward. Today, we knew that it build up phase there, but it's from the goalkeeper to number two, and then number two goes long. So we needed to stop that because we didn't want number two to advance with the ball and then kick long. They did exactly what we wanted from her, kick long, and we knew that if she kick, she's gonna kick to our winger or our fullback. So that was a duty today. We said just stop, press number two, don't allow her to advance with the ball and kick. And sometimes the striker, she doesn't have to score goals. Sometimes she must help us in terms of assist. I think the first goal we scored in the semis, it was her pressing, and we got a penalty. So sometimes it's okay not to score, just help a team in certain ways. I just want to say thank you to everyone who was supporting us back at home. And obviously thank you to the Malawians who came here every day to support us. And thank you to South African Football Association for giving us this opportunity to come here. I think they should be proud. I think we did represent them well, and for South Africa to have two teams going to the Champions League, it says a lot about the standard of women's football in our country. I hope we made everyone proud, and now we have to go back home and prepare for the big one. This one I'll give it to my players, and I'll tell you why. These are students. They don't play professional football. South Africa, we don't have professional football. This week, they had to study, they had to write exams. Some of them, they missed team meetings. Some of them, they were late for team meetings because they had to attend classes online. So it takes a lot to be a student athlete. So this is for them. And when I talk about them, I always say I'm blessed to have a group of players that is as talented as these ones. Because when it's time to study, they study. I'm telling you now, September, we have a graduation at UWC. Some of these players will graduate also. So they are not just good footballers, they are also good students.
That's it for another episode of The Cassava Show. We'll be back in a few weeks. Don't forget, you can listen to more of our podcasts on our YouTube channel, Spotify and iTunes. And you can also get the latest news via our website at www.cassava.com and on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and TikTok.